Well, business confidence seems to be moving in the right direction. Saki's business confidence index rose for a second consecutive month in October, gaining 2.5 index points to a record 95.8. This says 6 of the 13 sub-indices surveyed improved month on month, while 6 were unchanged and only 1 deteriorated. The organization attributes the gains to the appointment of Tito Mboweni as finance minister, along with President Ramaphosa's various efforts to stimulate the economy. But Saki does say that these real actions need to be backed up by economic policy certainty. So Richard Downing, who's chief economist at Saki, joins us on the line now to discuss what these improvements actually mean. Richard, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. So we've seen Saki's BCI maintain its positive momentum, as I've highlighted. Just how significant is this?
Well, I think, you know, we're actually measuring what's happening in the markets and what's happening in the economy, which has an impact on business as such and actually their psyche, you know, in terms of how they view the economy and the markets out there. And that is, as you said, you know, the 13 indices, it was actually pointing towards positive movements in the index as such, which is to be welcomed. But I think underlying that is actually, you know, what actually happened in the economy as such more than with the 13 indices. And as you said, only one index actually, in terms of the all share price index, that came down in October. The other indices all points north, so that was a positive development, or either they remained unchanged. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of course to still happen, and I think the background music in the economy and in the markets actually played a bigger role in pushing the index higher.
Let's drill into the detail there because, you know, these results do come as somewhat of a surprise to some quarters. So one wants to get a sense of what is actually working to bolster sentiment, because certainly individual economic data points haven't been too encouraging. If we look at just two of them, PMI has been coming in lower and GDP growth for this year has been revised to the downside as well.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, in terms of the figures, if you look at the data, it's not that positive as such. But I think if you look at the budget, I think what happened there is actually the realization of all the problem areas and pointing towards them very strongly. And then, of course, of indicating, you know, our choices that have to be made. And I think that realism is to some extent positive into the markets. And we could see the rand actually, which is one of the sort of indicators that move first on all these type of issues, also already indicated, you know, that they regarded that as positive moves. And I think the investment summit also contributed to this situation, because the realization actually in government and for the South African economy to grow, you need investment. But further, not just investment from local guys or local investors, but also from overseas, because we don't generate the savings that are necessary to finance that this huge pool of investment that is needed. I mean, our investment GDP ratio stands at around 18%, and at least we need about 25% to get the economic growth rate up, you know, to say 3% or whatever over the medium term only.
Yeah.
And therefore, this is a positive development, a realization of what is actually necessary in the economy, and also public finance being a big issue, and the Minister of Finance, you know, I think indicating, you know, that there's not a lot of room in terms of moving on the fiscal side of things, mm-hmm. and actually, you know, one has to be prudent in terms of how you actually use your resources in terms of on the fiscal side.
Richard, of course, that realization is just one side of the coin, though. I mean, any sustainability of the optimism that we are seeing filtering through would be dependent on actually, you know, seeing follow through on any of the initiatives that have been bandied about. And economic policy certainty is, you know, something that needs to be entrenched. Since July, the rhetoric has been greater policy certainty will ensure that the kind of positive momentum we're seeing continues. What's keeping business optimistic on that front, that implementation will actually materialize?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, to realize you've got problems, I think, is the first step. But then, of course, as you've pointed out, certainty on economic policy is also the next step. But what is more important is the direction you're taking in economic policy. And especially, you know, and what type of economy you would like to create jobs and to create growth. And I think that is the important issue here, to realize the interplay between capital, labor, and government, you know, in this whole process. And for each of them to play a specific role, for instance, the public sector, we know what happened in the past in terms of the effectiveness of the public sector, and it's been undermined to some extent, you know, and like, especially on local government level, where all business actually operates. We have seen some very difficult times, you know, for business in terms of providing services. And I think that is important to realize government isn't perhaps there to create all the jobs, but it's there to create or enhance the situation in which business could move forward. And I think that is a critical issue here.
Yeah. Having said that, though, surely realistically speaking, Richard, you know, we can't be setting expectations up too high as far as policy certainty is concerned ahead of elections next year.
No, for sure. Politics is a very, very difficult issue to handle. And I mean, we know that this ship has been moving in one direction. And to turn the ship around, you must actually start early, you know, to try and turn it. And the fiscal issues is one of those difficult things to actually handle and to try and get onto another type of route or level. And I think that is the challenge that we've got to face. But to realize that we've got to do something is very important. And then, of course, also to see how we can actually address issues, like, for instance, to realize that human capital is a very important component of this growth process, and how important education is, for instance, but not spending on education, but making sure that education and the level and the quality of education is conducive to creating that human capital that is necessary to move the economy forward. And perhaps then assist, you know, in terms of the unemployment of people that is not able to sort of buy into this highly sophisticated technical economy, but still to have an opportunity, you know, and to see some opportunity somewhere.
Richard, very quickly, and you alluded to this right at the top, you know, where business confidence is a key driver of economic growth. How much of this optimism do you actually see translating into investment spend? How quickly? Because surely there's going to be a slow turning on of the taps here, even post the elections next year.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, first of all, what we see now is business confidence is the day-to-day sort of operation of the economy. But as you say, you know, it must pull over into investor confidence, which take a longer-term view. I mean, one don't fix all the ills suddenly, but you take a longer-term view in terms of, you know, return on capital, in terms of the direction you're going, in terms of certainty of your investment, you know, so that it won't be nationalized and that type of stuff. And that is, I think, which is important now to create the groundwork for the economy to grow.
Well, let's leave it there, Richard. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Richard Downing, who's chief economist at SACI.